RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Health Radio with Melanie Cole.
You know, something that a lot of people really don't like to discuss, unless you're in my family, we love to discuss our poop, and we talk about it on a regular basis, but not a lot of people do, and even they don't want to discuss it with their doctor. But if you're having issues like pain or irregularity or bleeding, it could be a sign of a major health issue. And one way to track your gastrointestinal health is as easy as looking at your poop and peeking in the toilet before you flush. My guest today is Dr. Roshini Raj. She's a board-certified gastroenterologist and internist. Welcome to the show, Dr. Raj. So when we take a look, you know, as I always do, because I want to see how it's formed and if it's floating and if there's any blood, what should we be looking for?
Well, I think the first thing I want to point out is exactly what you said, is the first step is to actually take a look. And I'm always sort of surprised when I'm asking patients if they come in with abdominal pain or they're not feeling well. And I say, well, have you noticed any, let's say, blood in your stool? And they say, well, I don't know. I don't really look. And that's mistake number one. You have to at least look, because otherwise you won't know, you know, if something is amiss. So in terms of what you are looking for, certainly some real red flags and warning signs would be any sign of blood in the stool. So that's bright red blood or more maroon blood, or even the stool itself looks a maroon color, or even black tarry stools. That's actually a sign of older blood, meaning blood that's from further up in your digestive tract that's been digested and it turns black. So you want to really look for those colors, but other
Hold
colors
on, I want to stop you 1 second, Dr.
Sure.
Raj, because the blood is a huge thing. People, mm-hmm. you know, see blood, and you mentioned bright red blood.
Yeah.
Scares the crap out of everybody. Usually, yeah. that signals hemorrhoids. People are always afraid of, like, colon cancer or bowel cancer
right.
or anal cancer.
Right.
So when do we know that that blood is just simply our hemorrhoids?
Well, it's not always easy to tell, and that's why I think whenever you see blood, you really should discuss it with your doctor. But we do say generally that if it's bright red color, that's coming from much lower down in the GI tract and maybe even at the very end, which is where you may find a hemorrhoid. But you can't always tell. If you have a cancer in the rectum, which is quite low down, that could also cause bright red blood. So, you know, I always think it's better to be safe to discuss it with your doctor, have them examine you. But some of the more typical hemorrhoid signs of bleeding would be blood that's not mixed in with the stool, but perhaps just on top of the stool, or only on the toilet paper when you're wiping, but you don't see it in the bowl at all, or associated with a very hard stool or a lot of straining, and at the end of the straining you see a little bit of red blood. That's all more likely to be hemorrhoidal. But again, you can never be 100% sure. Always good to discuss it or get it checked out with your doctor.
Well, it certainly can be scary, and a mm-hmm. simple colonoscopy can, you know, which are part now of well visits.
Correct.
You know, so now it's part of the Affordable Care Act that you can get a colonoscopy, what, starting at age 50. So
That's
let's
right.
talk, and we'll talk about colonoscopies too, but what about the smell? This isn't something people really want to discuss, but can the smell, I mean, we know sometimes
yeah.
our pee stinks if you
right.
eat asparagus, but
right.
what about our poop?
Well, it's a great question. And of course, I don't think anyone thinks, you know, any kind of bowel movement smells particularly good. But there is a difference between sort of the regular smell that you're used to and what we call more of a foul-smelling bowel movement. And you'll know when this happens, because we all kind of know what our poop normally smells like and what it smells like when there's something off. And sometimes that could be that you ate something maybe that didn't quite agree with you. But if it's persistent, it could be a sign that you're not digesting your food properly, which can happen with EPI, which we're going to talk about in more detail, or that you have some kind of infection of the stool, a bacterial infection, a viral, or even a parasite. So you do want to pay attention to that smell. And if it's different from your regular smell or particularly a noxious odor, something to be checked out, because you could be carrying an infection or have some other intestinal issue going on.
So you mentioned EPI, exocrine
yeah.
pancreatic insufficiency. What is that?
So that basically is a condition where your pancreas is not functioning properly in terms of its exocrine function. And that means the enzymes that it normally produces to digest your food are not being produced in sufficient amounts. So you won't be digesting your protein, your carbohydrates, your fat properly. And as a result, you're going to develop symptoms such as diarrhea, gas, bloating, abdominal pain, and even weight loss. And, you know, it can be confusing because all those symptoms I just mentioned could be symptoms of a lot of other diseases, including celiac disease, Crohn's disease, sometimes irritable bowel syndrome. So it's something you'd really need to investigate with your doctor if you have any of those symptoms. And it's particularly important if you have EPI to know that you have it, because it can be associated, or sometimes it's sort of like a warning sign of a more serious pancreatic condition, like chronic pancreatitis. It's associated with cystic fibrosis, pancreatic surgery. There are just other conditions associated with it. And the other reason, of course, is if you're experiencing those symptoms, you want to do something about it. You don't want to just have to live with that day to day.
So what are some of the treatments? Because I imagine anyone hears the word pancreatic and they right away think of pancreatic cancer. And
right.
That's very, very scary.
Yes.
So what treatments, and kind of give your best hope for the outcome of EPI?
Yeah, so EPI certainly doesn't always mean or often mean pancreatic cancer. It could be associated with pancreatic cancer, but there are a lot of other reasons why your pancreas may not be producing enzymes. And this is an investigation you do with your doctor to find out what's causing it. But at the end of the day, the treatment is really supplementing those enzymes that your pancreas is not making. So you literally will take pill supplements with meals to help digest your food. And that's how, you combat this issue and start to feel better. And just, you know, if your listeners want more information, identifyepi.com has a whole, host of more information about this condition. But bottom line is, anyone who has these symptoms, diarrhea, bloating, abdominal pain, on a frequent basis, you don't want to just live with it, because it could be a sign of an underlying condition, such as EPI or something else.
Are there any nutritional kinds of things you want people to pay attention to, Dr. Rush, that would, help instead of, besides and in addition to the medication, but should they do anything dietary?
Well, certainly if you have EPI, it's a great question. Your treatment is going to involve not just the supplements, but really working closely with a nutritionist, because this is a problem with digestion of different nutrients, and you really need to kind of watch how much fat you're going to have in your diet, how much protein, how much carbohydrates, and really balance all that the best way, the most optimal way for you to digest it. So this is probably something you are not going to do on your own. It's best to do it, have a plan with a nutritionist, and it will be an ongoing plan of when you can eat, how frequently you can eat, what's the consistency of the meal, and how you kind of work in the supplements in conjunction with that as well.
So in just the last minute that we have, not only your best advice about EPI, but getting our regular colonoscopies and how important those are if we have any of those symptoms that you described, to get a colonoscopy to help diagnose whatever the situation is.
Yeah, I can't say enough about colonoscopies. I do them every day, and pretty much every week or every 2 weeks, I will find something very serious like a cancer or a very advanced precancerous polyp. And I think what people need to understand is that you don't always have symptoms if you have colon cancer. Sometimes people have absolutely no symptoms at all. We do the test and we find it. And that's why we recommend it for everyone, no matter how you feel, starting at age 50. Sometimes sooner if you have a family history, you should talk to your doctor about when is appropriate for you. But at the very least, by age 50, everyone should get one. We don't know what's lurking inside there. And the good news is colon cancer is very treatable if we catch it early. And that's why we do this test, to really catch it as early as possible. In terms of EPI, again, identifyepi.com has a lot of information. But generally speaking, it's one of the diagnoses you should be considering if you have diarrhea, bloating, gas, any of those symptoms. Go to your doctor and get it checked out.
That is rocking information, Dr. Raj. You are a really, really good guest and so well-spoken. So you can, everybody, the message to take away from this is take a look in the toilet before you flush. Look at your poops. Smell them. See how they smell. See how they look, how they're formed, whether there's blood. And get in touch with your doctor. And for God's sakes, have a colonoscopy. They're not that big a deal. And, you lose a pound for a day. So that's kind of awesome, too. You're listening to Radio MD. The show is Health Radio. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.